The message you're about to listen to is brought to you by Pastor Henry Onyedikachi.
If we don't preach the gospel, we cannot expel darkness from the hearts of men. Woe is me if I preach not the gospel. I have a commitment. Necessity is laid on me. I have an assignment to preach the gospel.
Stay blessed.
In Jesus' name we pray. Father, we receive, start a fire, a supernatural meeting that will change our lives for the better. Let this coming weekend, that's from 4th to 6th, be a reference point all the days of our lives. And for everyone that walk into this meeting, let their lives be transformed. And I pray, Lord, that as we keep praying for this meeting individually and collectively, that you give everyone here visions, pictures of what you want to do for them and do with them. And as start the fire, let those visions be confirmed. And may they be empowered and equipped for it. In Jesus' name we pray. And we receive the word this evening upon good ground. In Jesus' name we pray. You want to shout a louder amen?
Amen?
Glory to God. Good evening. Let's have our seats. Hallelujah. So I thought I was going to take us on that prayer at the end of this teaching, but it's good it came earlier than that. Praise God. And we'll have time again and again to pray. One of the ways to prepare for a Christian meeting, like you know, is to pray, right? And maybe on Sunday, today, you know, we're still on God Uncensored, right? So, and for like two, three sessions, I'll be looking at the sovereignty of God. I'll still touch it, but today I'll think of something else. On Sunday, still in this God Uncensored series, I will begin to answer questions around prayer. The mechanism of answered prayers. How does God answer prayers? Are you following me? Because there's a mechanism. That's the way God answers prayers. If you find out how, then you always have answers. By the way, you know Sunday is a special meeting for us. What's happening on Sunday? Family and friends service. What time is our service on Sunday? 8 a.m. is one service, so don't come by 10. You might be meeting the end of the message. Glory to God. So 10, 8 a.m. will be here. We're going to have a good time. Praise God. Okay, so this evening we're on God Uncensored series. Has this series blessed you at all? Has it delivered everything it promised? And even more. And I've done a lot of teachings earlier on the nature and the character of God, but this is beyond what I've done before, right? We're just taking it a step further. And we'll just go a few more steps, then we'll stop. We'll return again. Praise God. The thing I'm teaching you is called, this is theology, actually. But if I had called it theology, if I had titled it understanding theology, you wouldn't have come. You would have said, what's my business with that? But it's simple theology. Theology means the study of God. When you see theo, it means God. That's why you see names like Theophilos. Amen. What does Theophilus mean? Huh? Wait. What does Theophilus mean? God Philos. So, theology is the study of God. I'm not going to say anything to you about that. So that's what we're talking. We're studying God and his character and everything he stands for. Theology has different sections. Right? Theology has different sections, and we've scratched some of them in our study. And I'll stop. Why I'm making this statement is so that you know that what you are dealing with is actually broad, very broad. People say theology, there are actually seven, maybe at LMP, right? There are actually seven branches of theology, actually. Okay, so there are a lot, don't worry, don't worry, I'm not going to say everything. But there are seven branches. For instance, pneumatology is one. That's the study of the Spirit. Soteriology is the study of salvation. So about seven. I actually believe there is more. Do you understand? Huh? There is more. Funny enough, anthropology is also a branch of philosophy, of theology. You know what anthropology is? Huh? What does it mean? The study of man. So you can't actually study God without studying man. Do you understand? That is under anthropology that will begin to, talking about the creation of man, the fall of man. You know, how does man rule the earth? That's actually where we are, actually. Do you understand? So, when you hear us say we are teaching on the nature of God, we are teaching God uncensored, it's not a streamlined teaching. Because sometimes where we stop, when I was still laying foundation for us in this ministry a couple of years back, where I just get to the point, I show you God is love, and anything you cannot find the love, you cannot find the God, and we stop there. And that's a good foundation. But then, there are a lot of things to learn. Just that fact that God is love and that you find God in Christ is a major foundation for every other thing you want to build. You have to have that foundation. You see, this simple thing we are looking at, the love of God, the person of Jesus Christ and all of that, you see, that simple stuff is the reason why many people have a distorted theology all over the world, because they don't have that basic understanding. And I'm telling you this, in the next couple of months, if not weeks, it's even closer than many of you think, and I've been sensing it strongly in my spirit, there's going to be a debate that will break out on Facebook and social media very soon. Okay, and when it happened, you remember I told you, and it's going to border around these facts, I'm telling you. You're going to hear things like, God is that, God is this, God is this, you're wicked, God is, it's going to come very soon. And when it starts, you remember. But don't be afraid, it's not an attack on the church as it were. It is, a lot of people are going to come to light through that particular drama. I get the point. Because that will push many to begin to study and ask questions. Preserve what I said now. Because when it starts, you remember I said it. Amen. So we are dealing with something very important. And it's going to, one of the things this teaching will do for you is that it's going to help your fellowship with God. It will help your walk with God. To strengthen how you walk with God, how you understand God. And once you understand God better, you can walk with Him better. And so we've done a whole lot. So today, I just want to get straight into it. I want to answer a very simple question for us about the voice of God. Right? How does God speak? And I will not say many things about that today. It's a broad topic on its own. But let's just see a few things. Some things I feel that God wants us to touch today about how God speaks. And to see, bring us back, when we'll be rounding up, we'll see, touch a little about what we started talking about, sovereignty and all of that. But then how does God speak? And the first thing I'd like you to know is that God wants to speak to everyone. Now, I didn't say God wants to speak to believers only. God wants to speak to everyone by His Spirit. He's a speaking spirit. He wants to speak to everyone. And I can actually tell you, He does speak to everyone. At least He makes an attempt to. For instance, for the unbeliever, God will speak to him through believers like us who go for evangelism, preachers, and the purpose of God speaking to unbelievers basically is so that He will convict them of their unbelief and see that they come to Christ. That's why by the time you read John chapter 16 verse 8, Jesus talking about the ministry of the Holy Spirit, He tells us that He will convict the world. He said when He is come, He will reprove the world of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. And then in verse 9, He said He will reprove the world of sin because they believe not on me. And so He tells you that the Holy Spirit has something He does for people that do not believe. And that He does for them is to convict them in their hearts that they, for them to believe in Jesus. As so when we go to evangelism and preaching to sinners, that is one of the ways God is speaking to sinners. So actually, God speaks to everybody. At least he attempts to. I get what I'm saying. And so when an unbeliever is unsaved and I appear there and I'm preaching the gospel, God is speaking to that unbeliever. First, by what I'm saying. Secondly, by the activity of the Spirit of God in the person's heart. Telling the person what he's saying is correct. You have to put your faith in him. So the Holy Ghost convicts the world of unbelief. So when you see, go back to verse 8, when you see that he will reprove the world of sin, many people think that what he's talking about is that the Holy Ghost goes about telling people, you have sinned, you have not sinned. That's not what he's saying. Because in the next verse, he tells us the exact sin he's talking about, of sin, because they believe not of me. Go back to verse 8, give me like New Living Translation. He said, when he comes, he will convict the world of its sin, and of God's righteousness, and of the coming judgment. There are three things that the Holy Ghost does. We're going to touch them somewhere in our study today. First, he convicts the world of sin and righteousness and judgment. But then, verse 9 tells us it's not just every kind of sin. The world's sin is that he refuses to believe in me. Is it very clear to us? So, the work of the Holy Ghost is to go to the heart of unbelievers while we are speaking to them, telling them, you have to believe. You have to believe. You have to stop sinning. And that sin is, you have to believe. And so, yes, the Holy Ghost, God speaks to everybody. That's the point I'm trying to make. Because even the unbeliever, you would have said, he doesn't speak to. We are seeing that through the mouth of believers, he will get to them. And once believers begin to talk, this is actually another reason we do evangelism. Because it is by, remember, the unbeliever does not have the Holy Spirit in them. So it is by our words, as that those words we are speaking are getting into their hearts, that God can begin to speak to them. So without the believer taking the gospel to the unbeliever, the Holy Ghost cannot talk to an unbeliever. I get what I'm saying? Because the unbeliever doesn't have the Holy Spirit in them. But when we now go to preach, as our words are going forth and getting into their hearts, right, the Spirit of God, which that it indwells those words we are speaking, they begin to work in their hearts. So does God speak to everybody? Yes, at least he attempts to speak to everybody. So first we are seeing that God speaks to everybody, unbelievers too. Unbelievers too. Praise God. And we are also seeing that God speaks to believers. He speaks to believers. He speaks to believers. Every believer. God speaks to every believer. Now, I didn't say God speaks to some believers. This teaching will deliver some of you from some struggles you've had in your heart. God speaks to every believer. Once you've put your faith in Christ Jesus, God speaks to you and he wants to. The question is whether you are hearing God or whether you are paying attention to him. But if that he's speaking to you. For instance, the Bible tells us in John 16 and verse 13 how that when the Spirit of truth is come, that's talking about the Holy Spirit, he will guide you, talking about the believer, into all truth. And he said, for he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak. So he tells you one of the things the Holy Ghost will do is that he will speak to you concerning what he hears from Jesus. He said he will show you things to come. He will show you things to come. What are the things he will show you? Things to come. Things to come concerning what Christ has done. That's why he said, whatever he shall hear, that shall he speak. So yes, you are seeing that the Holy Ghost speaks to believers, right, about the person and the character. Give me verse 14. Verse 14, about God. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine and show it to you. So what the Holy Ghost does is that he talks to you about Jesus. He talks to you about God. He talks to you about the Godhead. So the Holy Ghost can teach you about God. Can teach you about the Godhead. Especially as you read his word. Amen. Again, we've seen that the Holy Ghost can also speak to the believers about their place in Christ Jesus. John 16 and verse 8 tells us that he shall reprove the world of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. And in verse 9, he said, of sin, because they believe not on me. So the sin he convicts the world of is the sin of unbelief. But then, in verse 10, he said, of righteousness, because I go to my Father. So one of the things the Holy Ghost does is to remind the believer that he is righteous. And that righteousness has come because Jesus has ascended to his Father and is still at God's right hand. Do you understand what I'm saying? So that's the work of the Holy Ghost. All that you can also find is that the Holy Ghost can also speak to believers concerning their ministry and their assignment. So I'm saying God wants to speak to you about many things. That's what I'm trying to make all the while. He wants to speak to you about himself. He wants to talk to you about your righteousness. He wants to talk to you also about your assignment and your ministry. He wants to talk to you about your purpose, about your calling. He wants to talk to you about his plans for your life. And all the other. He wants to talk to you about your marriage. He wants to talk to you about your career.
He wants to talk to you about every area. So I'm sure you, he wants to talk to you about who you are in Christ. He wants to talk to you about God and Jesus himself. He wants to talk to you about his plan for your life. He wants to talk to you about your ministry. He wants to give you instructions. He wants to talk to you about your studies. And so, yes, the Holy Ghost or God speaks to believers. And he wants to do that all the time. You know, and why am I saying this very, making this very obvious to them? Because somebody is saying, these things are obvious. God speaks to us and he wants to speak to us. I'm saying that because you need to know that the believer should not be the person getting worried about how God will speak to him. Let me put it this way. The believer should not be worried about getting God to speak to him. You know, there are a couple of believers all over the world who are concerned about how to hear the voice of God. Do you understand? How to hear the voice of God. How to get God to speak to you. Say, before God speaks to you, you have to go on 3 days because so that he can speak. That is not correct. God actually wants to speak to you, and God is always speaking to you. Hearing God's voice has been made to be very complicated in many places. So some people are trying to learn how to get God to speak. As a matter of fact, you cannot get God to speak to you if he never wanted to speak to you in the first place. Now that's what you have to realize. You can't get God to talk to you if he never wanted. Some of you think, well, if God doesn't want to speak, I'm just going to fast for 7 days. Maybe on the seventh day, he will see my fasting and speak to me. If God doesn't want to speak to you, he will not speak to you, even if it's for 14 days. You think God is moved by a hunger strike? No. God already has an intention to speak to man, especially the believer. God already wants to. Your fasting will not make God decide to speak to you. He has decided already. That's why we call God sovereign. He makes up his mind on what he wants. I get what I'm talking about. He makes up his mind on what he wants. So the believer should therefore not worry about getting God to speak to him. That's why, for instance, you know, let me give you an example. We're going to get to the Father of God very shortly. Do you think a child should be bothered about getting the father to talk to him? Every good father wants to talk to the children. Even if the child has done wrong, at least you want to correct him. So you want to talk to him. That's why I don't think it's a topic. It should be a topic in church, how to make God speak. That's an unnecessary teaching. Are you following what I'm saying? Very unnecessary. In fact, I also believe that a teaching on how to hear from God is not very necessary. Hear what I'm going to say. What is actually necessary is how to recognize the voice of God. You don't teach children how to hear from their parents. Children just have to know how to pick that this is daddy's voice, that is uncle's voice, that is mommy's voice. That's what they need. And I can tell you one of the ways they get to master that experience. But we'll get to that shortly. I feel what I'm saying. And so you notice that hearing God has been made to be very complicated in many places. So do you want to hear God? Yes. Go and fast and pray. And as you begin to spend your time in fasting and prayer, maybe, perhaps, so a man of God said he fasted for a couple of days, and all God said to him is it I'm with you? And I used to share this story with you guys. When I was a younger Christian, it's been long I told the story. I didn't even know I was born again. Maybe I was, I don't know. But I knew I belonged to this fellowship, very small fellowship. And I was in junior class. So that our fellowship, they said that we wanted to get God to speak to us. So they set up a fast. They said we are going to fast to get God to speak to us. I'm going to simplify something for you today. I didn't have no knowledge. So I asked them, please, how long will this fast be? Because it's good to know what you are getting into, right? So that I will know. They said, well, so we're going to lock up ourselves in a room and we're going to fast and we will not stop until God speaks. And that if God doesn't speak, we're going to be there until he speaks. You know, my mother didn't give birth to a fool. He didn't realize I'm a very wise person. So I calculated. I said, okay. With the few things I know about God, he doesn't speak fast. So if I said, what if this man doesn't speak to us for 7 days?
And it was supposed to be a dry fast.
So I planned what I was going to do. So on that day, I was getting set for school. Because it was a Friday. I was supposed to go to school and come back. Then Friday in the evening, we go to the camping ground. So I told my mom, I said, Mom, we're supposed to fast today. She said, fine. I said, and we're going to go for this in the evening. She said, fine. I said, we're not coming back until God speaks to us. She said, okay. Because I wanted her to object. So when I saw she was objecting, I said, but why I'm telling you is because I'm very hungry now. She said, if you're hungry, go and eat. I said, thank you. So I went and I ate. So in the evening when they saw me, I was in the field playing ball. So they saw me going to eat. They say, are you not coming? I said, I did not fast. They say, why? I said, my mother said I should eat. And my major concern was, we're about to go and hear from God. What if he doesn't speak? What if he stayed there 3 days, 4 days, 5 days? He doesn't speak and I'll die for my mother. No. And I guess my mom, being older than me, already knew that those guys will not stay long there. Because sometimes it's lack of teaching. And let me tell you why I feel that they know what they're doing. They entered that fast on Sunday. Friday to Sunday. And they already contacted somebody to cook on that Sunday. to have love feast at the end of the day. So how did they know? Now, these are very genuine Christians. I have nothing against them. I'm just trying to say, ignorance can take you farther than you want to go. I've seen people go to mountains. I'm not against going to mountains. I've prayed in mountains for some time. And, well, I've tried. It's a very sweet experience. I've gone to mountains and prayed. But you see people go to the mountains and all they want is for God to speak to them. Is that really serious? And I had that issue when I was growing up as a Christian. Because after that experience, that was my junior class. My SS1 going to SS2, I had what some people try to call a rededication of their life to God. So I became much more serious with God and all of that. And I began to seek to hear God. I remember praying and telling myself, I'm going to get under the bed. I'm not joking. I said, Lord, I'll get under the bed and I'm not going to come out until you speak to me. Speak to me, Lord. I'm seriously. I've slept under the bed. I've slept in the wardrobe. Praise God. I promise I will be there praying. God speak. Shaka taka taka. I will sleep. And the next thing I'll hear is, "Onye dekeba vudu ndegudi." Okay, forget about that. I said, "Food is ready." Just okay. Yes, mommy. You know, and it all comes. And you know, we're laughing about this. But many of you are in that struggle. You want to hear God. You want to know how does God sound? When all these men of God said, the Lord just spoke to me in my left ear. What does it feel like? And I'm trying to show you that God wants to speak to you. God actually wants to speak to you more than you want to hear him. Actually. And if we break this thing down for you, you'll find out that it's not actually hard to hear God. I may not have time to do all of that today. Because I have a lot of teachings on that. I just want to clear some misconceptions. But please, again, to recommend how to find the will of God for your life and the way they live in. That book is out there. Get it. And it's going to answer your question. I answered all that could be answered in that book. Anyway, so the believer should not worry himself about getting God to speak to him. The believer should rather focus on how to recognize that God is speaking. Because God is a speaking spirit. The Bible tells us in the book of 1 Timothy, the spirit speaketh expressly in the last days. That perilous times will come. So God speaks expressly. That's what I'm trying to say. God is a speaking spirit. He speaks. You know, the Bible is filled with promises about God. I'm saying he will talk to you. For instance, Isaiah 30 verse 21. He said, thy ear shall hear a word behind you saying, this is the way, walk in it. That's a promise of guidance right there. That your ear will hear a word behind you. And it's a promise. And these are promises you should embrace. And when God promises, it's because he actually wants to do it. And so you notice this promise came before you were even born. So it's not your action that will make God to speak to you. Are you following what I'm talking about?
Another rendering of this chapter, of this verse. And I said, your own ears will hear him. Right behind you, a voice will say, this is the way you should go. Whether to the left, right, or to the left. It's a promise you should embrace. So every time you come under that anxiety of, how am I sure, God, how will I get you to speak to me? Remember, there's already a promise that God has made that he will get to you. Are you following me? In Psalm 32 and verse 8, he said, I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way which thou shalt go. He said, I will guide thee with my eye. A lot of promises. I will guide thee with my eye. Give me like an NLT of this verse. I will guide thee with my eye. The Lord says, I will guide you along the best pathway of your life. And for your life. Say amen, somebody. I read that again. The Lord says, I will guide you along the best pathway for your life. He said, I will advise you and watch over you. That's a promise right there. And if we can dare to take the word of God how it is, then we should not be afraid of God speaking to us or not. He already promised to do it. So notice when God promises a thing, it's because he wants to do it. So what's your job now is to find out, how do I align to what God already wants to do? And not how do I get God to do it? So God speaks to believers. The Bible says he orders the footsteps of the righteous. The steps of a good man ordered by the Lord. And in case you don't know, you're a good man. You're a righteous man. Because you're in Christ Jesus. And he promises that he will order your steps. So what we need to find out is, how does God speak? How does he not speak? What will I hear? And I will know, oh, that's not God speaking. What will I hear? And I know, oh, that's definitely God. I will make some random statements here and there. And maybe towards the end, we tie it all together. Amen. First of all, one of the things you must know is that when we say, we'll talk about God speaking, God will not speak to you through your physical senses. He will not always do that. The problem is that when many people want to hear from God, they are thinking of hearing God through their physical ear. They're expecting that they will sit in their room one day and they will hear Samuel, Samuel. And they will say, oh, who is calling me? That expectation is why you've not heard God actually. God doesn't interact always. He will scarcely interact with you through your physical senses. Yes, there is such a thing called open vision, right? Where your physical eyes see things. That can happen, but that's an exception. The major way through which God will interact with a believer is through the believer's spirit. The Bible tells us that God himself is spirit. So if you think, that's why, you know, I look at some prophets, and why I understand that they have their own prophetic drama, whatever you want to call it. I also think that some of them are doing more harm than good to the body of Christ with the way they announce these things. You say God is speaking to me in my left ear. The message you are sending to people is that you are hearing God through your physical ear. And I can tell you clearly, it rarely will happen. Are you following what I'm saying now? It will rarely happen. So I hear God through my right ear. It rarely will happen. And so the believer that is hearing God in his spirit thinks something is wrong with him because he's not hearing God with his... He's always left. Left ear. Stop trying to... God is a spirit. Stop trying to reach him with your senses. God is a spirit. How can you use your physical senses to relate to the spirit? How do you think your physical eyes will see spirit? How do you think your physical ears will hear spirits? You are dealing with a spirit being here. Are you following what I'm saying? And so the first issue we have is people trying to reach God through their physical senses. That doesn't always work. I can almost tell you, it will not work. You will get into trouble. You know, one major reason why reaching God through your physical senses will not always work is because you see that your physical senses, sense of sight, hearing, anything can assess these things. Anything. Demons can show you pictures. They say, I just saw. Now, have I had an open vision before? No. But have I ever heard God through my physical ear? Yes. And I heard him only once. Through my physical ear. But do I hear God every day of my life? Yes. Even as I'm talking to you, God is talking to me now. And that's not a fluke. Better don't doubt it. If you doubt it, I'll prove it to you. In the next 5 minutes, I'm going to say something you are thinking.
I'm going to talk about it. I'm going to digress and say something you are thinking about. God's talking to me every minute. So just pick a thought in your heart. For 5 minutes, I've answered it. Did you do that when you were young? Put a number in your mind. Multiply it by 20. By not zero. Times it by zero. The answer is zero. Glory to God.
Well, you see, God speaks all the time, but have I ever heard God? I've not actually seen, like, physically.
I've heard that way, but I've not seen like that. But do I see visions? A lot.
The problem is, many people think, let me even make this very clear. People who are called into the prophetic ministry, office of the prophet, will tend to have more of these experiences than other people. That is just the truth. It doesn't mean they are special or they are more whatever. It will just happen more with them. For instance, Brother Hagin of blessed memory, Jesus appeared to him physically in his room 8 times. 8 times. If you read his book, I Believe in Visions, he talked about it. He said the last time Jesus appeared to him, Jesus told him, "This will be the last time I will ever speak to you this way." And he said, "Why?" He said, "Because I will start speaking to you the same way I speak to all my children around the world through their inward witness." He wrote about this in his book, How to be Led by the Spirit, How to be Led by the Spirit of God. From that book, that's where I also developed, you know, part of things I learned in that book, entered in this particular new book I wrote, How to Find the Will of God for Your Life and Everyday Living. In fact, there's a chapter in that book that I quoted a full chapter in Brother Hagin's book. Have you read that book? A full chapter in Brother Hagin's book, because that book really blessed me. Because that's how God speaks to us. But people just want to see, I want to hear. That's the problem. They want to interact with God through their physical senses. So that next time you hear me speaking, I say, the Lord said to me, there's somebody here. And you say, it's like, as Pastor was talking, God was echoing. Let me tell you something about God. God speaks all the time. And so if God begins to speak to you through your physical ear, you will run mad, literally mad. Imagine you're walking on the road and you're hearing, "Turn back." And you're driving. And you know, God wants to commune with you. And I kid you not, I can be driving on the way. I thank God for the Holy Ghost. I can be driving on the way and I'm having a conversation with God's Spirit. And it doesn't interfere with my driving. Has it ever happened to you? You are doing something. You might even be talking with someone. But you're having another conversation in your spirit with God. Imagine God speaks to us through our physical ears and shows us physical things. As you are driving, you see an angel standing along the road. But that's why he reaches us with our spirit man. So all these attempts to be able to hear God echo in your ear, "My son, my son, my son, my son, my son. Go, 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 go." Did you watch national movies? "I will be, with you. Your brother, da, wants to poison you. Don't eat the food." That's not how it works. That's not how it works. And if you keep seeking that, trust me, a demon can replicate that and speak to you. And many people are hearing demons. You know, the Bible tells us there are many voices in the world. People are hearing demons. They think they're hearing God. Now, another foolish thing, or funny thing, let me know this word foolish. Another funny thing people do in attempt to hear God, still talking about physical senses, is that they throw a fleece. You know what a fleece is? You know, they say, Gideon did that in the Bible. So, Lord, as I'm going out, if this is what you want for me, let this happen. If it is not this, let this happen. Stop doing that, you know. You will get into trouble. I know some of you, somebody is saying to me, "But I've done it before and it worked." I know, I heard it. And it can work. Well, please stop it. That's not the ultimate way God speaks to us. Gideon said, "I'm going to put this cloth down here. If you want me to go, let it be dry. Let the cloth be dry and let water be all around it." And he woke up, it happened like that. He said, "Okay, tomorrow let the cloth be wet, but let there be no water around." It happened. The problem with that is anything can affect that. Anything can influence that. Like anything. Anything. And I used to jokingly tell you guys this story every time I talk about this. About someone that brought his Bible and said he was going to
He wanted the leading of God over a matter. So he now said, and somebody I'm talking to is doing this thing I'm saying. Lord, as I open my Bible, everywhere, every place my eye fall on, let it be what you're leading me to do. Now, please say the truth. Have you ever tried this in your life? Ah. People are like me. The first day I did that, and do you know the problem? It's not about results. The first day I did it, it worked for me. Yeah. I told God, Lord, I want to know what you want me to do for you. As I open this Bible, show me. And I opened John 21, where Jesus said to Peter, feed my lamb. Do you understand what I'm saying? So technically you could say, it worked, but that's not how God speaks to us. Because my eye could have fallen on any other verse. If I, why did I go to that verse? Is that the little thing in that page? You know, why did I choose that particular verse? Because that verse looked like it resonated what I wanted to hear. So I said, that is it. So this young man opened the Bible. This is not story. This is not true, Sha. It's fictitious. So Lord, whatever my eye follow, let it be what. And he opened the first one. And his eye fell on, and Judas went and hung himself. So he closed it. He said, that must be a coincidence. That must be a mistake. He opened the second one, and his eye fell on, go and do thou likewise. So he closed it, said, God forbid. Open the last one. He said, whatever thou doest, do quickly. Hurry up and kill yourself. So God was telling him to commit suicide. You can't use that to meet God. And if let me tell you, if you flip your Bible like that, your eye will definitely go on any part of the Bible you keep reading often. You know, that is the way books behave. You know, when you've read, if you've read the book of John very well, if you flip it, you definitely get to John. And even in your mind, when you're flipping that, there are places you are trying to avoid. Yes. You will not flip to Revelation. You will avoid flipping Revelation. That's not how God speaks, brother. That's not how God speaks. You can't trust that. You can't trust that. And Brother Egan said, you know, the story I told in the book, he said he once did something like that. Because those days he was a pastor, and how they do in the church then, they elect you. So if this church needs a pastor now, it's already an existing church, we employ a pastor. Do you understand? So most times what happens is a pastor comes, preaches for them, and they vote the pastor in or vote the pastor out, to decide who wants him. Majority will always carry the vote. If majority wants the pastor, you know, all those kind of practices. So, Brother Egan, they were going to vote him into this church. And he prayed a prayer. And he told God, if I get to that church and all of them vote me 100%, then I will know that this is your will. But even if one person says no, I will know it's not your will. And he got all of them voted him 100%. And he felt that was the will of God. He said he got in and began a pastor there. He said he will sit down in the house. And the thing about it was, he said, that's the church they had the highest form of comfort, materially speaking. Good personage, good house, everything was okay. He said, but every time he begins to prepare for the meeting, he will prepare powerfully, then he will get up the stage. It's just like they poured cold water. He said, all he was doing was making talks. He said, one day his wife told him, it's time for you to come make another good talk. He said that he didn't pick up because he was giving talk, advice. No fire in the meeting. He said, I told him he will prepare, be burning. He will climb the stage and start talking. You know, that's the difference between talking and preaching. He said that happened at a time it was so clear he had missed God. So he just waited for the 1 year they were to stay there to complete. And then he completed. He said he didn't need to pray. He left. He said when he left, that he always fought hard to return to that church to go and do a meeting. He said because you always want to go back there so that they can see that he can actually preach. He said the first time he went there, he preached. They met him and be like, wow, I've never heard you preach like that. He said, well, I was preaching like that before I came here. He says, why didn't you preach like that in our church? He said, because you missed God. I missed God. We all missed God. I get what I'm talking about. You can't use that. Now, he could have done it and it worked. But how can you even trust that? Are you following me? Well, there are many other things I would like to say about that, but please, that's not how God speaks. Another thing you must notice about how God speaks to is that God will never contradict his written word in an attempt to speak to you. Never. He will never contradict the written word. Now, this Bible is superior to any other voice you will hear. Now, that doesn't mean that if God is speaking to you, he'll be quoting scriptures. That's what I'm saying. I'm saying the instructions he will give you will not contradict the written word. So, the example normally used about this is marriage. God cannot tell you to go and marry someone that is not born again. Why? Because God already showed in his word that you should not be unequally yoked with unbelievers. God cannot speak to you to do that. Are you getting it? And somebody's going to give me the story of Hosea. What of Hosea? God told me to marry a prostitute. Well, I don't want to get into that. But you have to notice that in the Old Testament, the instruction that they had as pertaining marriage is not to marry a non-Israelite. And the woman he married was not a Gentile. But story for another day anyway. But you can't use that. Are you following me? So there are instructions you find in the word of God that are very clear. God can never instruct you against it. God's word, for instance, preaches and teaches about the unity of the body of Christ. A pastor cannot possibly say that God told him to start a church and to take half of the members where he was pastoring, where he was under someone to go and start his own. God can never speak to you about that. That was not God. So, you know, by the time you know these things, you already know that is, so you know when the devil is talking to you. God will, for instance, not ask you to act in offense. He will never tell you to act in offense because God is love. So you say, God, even God self told me not to talk to him again forever. No. Are you following me? God cannot lead you. For instance, what example will I use now? For instance, okay, God cannot speak to you. God cannot sow seeds of envy and jealousy in your heart and how he speaks to you. For instance, God cannot tell you, I'm going to give you a church bigger than that guy's church. God doesn't talk like that. Because the Bible is against comparisons. Are you aware? I will say that again. God doesn't talk like that. If you think you heard that, and I'm just trying to tell you to think again. Maybe you think, maybe you interpreted it that way yourself. God will not tell you, I'm going to make you greater than that guy. So that you start competing with him and start measuring your life by his standard. No. God can simply tell, I'm going to make you great. I'm going to make you rich. I'm going to prosper you. And that's okay. God can tell, I'm going to give you a big church. That's okay. But God cannot tell, I'll give you a church bigger than Winner's Chapel. And all your life, you're now measuring. You're not trying to compare. I must be bigger than Winner's Chapel. You know, no. Because he's going to sow seeds of competition in your heart. And God doesn't talk like that. It's your human nature that talks like that. Is someone following me at all? Again, another example I'm going to, another thing I'm going to say, God will not speak to you, and that's why, but I want to jump to this because I'm going to somewhere with this whole teaching. God will not speak to you of anything that will not involve man's cooperation. For instance, God cannot speak to you of an impending danger and tell you you can do nothing about it. For instance, God cannot tell you you are going to die in 5 days' time and or maybe you're going to have an accident in 3 days' time. And no matter what you do, it's going to happen. God doesn't talk like that. And this is where I actually want to start sharing a few things with you. Every time you get a prophetic word or you get a word from God, always remember that that word will not happen except a man gets involved. Are you following me? Except a man gets involved, that word will not happen. So if God tells you, you are going to be the president of the country, what God is not saying is you will be president whether you like it or not, whether you do the right thing or not, my word will stand, you must be president. God doesn't talk like that. Everything God will tell you will involve an action from you to be able to happen. Are you following me? Huh? No matter, God will not say, I'm going to make you, you're going to win souls. You're going to be a soul winner. Greatest soul winner. Whether you like it or not. If you like, go and start doing drugs. If you like, go and start womanizing. If you like, all I know is that you'll be a soul winner. No, God doesn't talk like that. Because again, those kind of statements will encourage laziness and irresponsibility. So what I'm trying to show you today is that, yes, God speaks to us, but you must know how God speaks, how he doesn't speak. And you must also know what to do with the things that God says to you. Now, let me break it down. There are people that God, some of you have gotten some amazing words from God. The day God spoke to you about that, maybe through a prophet or through your spirit, you were so excited. In fact, you knew, you are so sure it was going to happen. It looked like you are living in that reality. But from then till now, it has not happened. I get what I'm saying? Because there is a way to interact with what God says. When God says a thing, he's not saying it must happen whether you like it or not. That's not how God talks. When you hear such things, just know it's not God talking to you. Are you following me? There are different categories of words you can hear from God, but all of them must involve man doing something. So I'm going to talk about how to respond to prophetic words. But before I do that, I just sensed in my spirit, because somebody is saying, sir, you are leaving this subject about how to hear God. Now, let me answer the person. I'm not going to say too much about how to hear God today. It's a very broad subject. But like I already said, how to hear God is basically through your inward man. Your inward man. That inward witness. When you pray, there is a knowing. There is the inward man. Now, that inward man has a witness. We call it the inward witness. That inward man has a voice. We call him the inward voice. So, if I'm praying over a matter now, and then in the course of my prayer, now I'm not talking about just 3 minutes prayer, I'm praying over a matter, and I begin to feel, not just in my heart, maybe on the outside everything is okay over this, but I feel this red light towards this matter. Slow down on that thing. God is actually talking to you. I get to the point. That what we call that is the inward witness. It means that your inward man is witnessing against what you're about to do. I get what I'm saying? So I want to step out there and I just feel this coldness. It's not because somebody told me there was an accident there. No, there was nothing. Everything is even okay, but I just feel this strange. Brother Egan will say it feels like washing your feet with your socks on. It feels very awkward. It feels very strange. You can't explain it, but it doesn't just settle. Now, slow down. The God's trying to show you something. That's your inward witness reacting. Sometimes, everything may not be good on the outside, but in your inward man, you are getting a go-ahead. You just feel it's okay. I should just go ahead with it. Are you getting what I'm saying? Uh-huh. So, that's the inward witness. You see this thing I explained to you? It is stronger than any thought says the Lord you can ever hear. I mean, if I see a dream now, where they are pursuing me in the dream, and they shoot me, and I die in the dream, and I get up from that dream, and I just say, Shama Rabba Daga Daba, and I just get in my spirit, I just feel there's nothing to it. Trust me, I will not bother my head about it. Because that inward witness is stronger than any dream you can see. That's actually how God leads me. I can tell you. That's how God leads me. How do I know what to preach to you every day? I'm telling you. Sometimes I just stay and I'm just meditating. I'm just praying and meditating. And I just feel strong in my spirit. I just talk about this. And I trust it with all my heart. I trust it with everything. That's how I lead this church. That's how I run my life. That's how I chose you to marry. That's how I run my home. It's the inward witness. Are you following me? The Bible tells us Paul got to a place and he wanted to, the Bible said he was burdened in the spirit. Look what happens for me. Just, he didn't feel anything, but he just felt, I should just do this. That burden, that reaction of your spirit is very strong. That's the word, man. Give me Acts 18 verse 5. Let me see. I think Acts 18 verse 5. I didn't plan to go into this, but because of how I started. Yes, I said, and when Silas and Timotheus were come from Macedonia, Paul was pressed in the spirit. He didn't hear a voice, but then his spirit was responding somewhere. I got what I'm thinking about. He was pressed. Paul didn't hear, arise now, declare the word. No. was just pressed in the spirit. We were just pressed in the spirit. Give me another translation. And I said pressed. Okay, give me like amplified. It's keep that word. Aha, he said, arrived. He was completely engrossed. Okay, give me another one. I'm looking for that word. Okay, they skipped, gave his whole time. Well, King James said he was pressed in the spirit. Good King James, but pressed in the spirit. They skipped that word. But then he was pressed in the spirit. He was pressed. There was no word. There was no thought, says the Lord. Praise God. But he just felt, well, I should do this. In Acts chapter 16, verse 6, Bible said, when they had gone throughout Phrygia and the region of Galatia, and we are forbidden, very key, forbidden of the Holy Ghost to preach the word. So we didn't hear that the God and the Holy Ghost, they don't preach here. But you know, there is always that restriction. Right? You can't do this. Leave this matter. It's always there. And some of you, the relationship you eventually enter direct your life. You felt that witness. Because the thing, that's why I told you, God always wants to speak to you. He's always speaking. Just that you didn't know it was God talking. You felt that witness. Every time you go to pray, you always feel something is off about this. You felt disturbed. That is God speaking to you. It is His spirit in you reacting to something you are doing. It's just like when you're driving, that red and green light on the road. It's just like that's this red light. Are you following me? But you didn't pay attention to it. So it's all over the place. So Paul was forbidden of the Holy Ghost to preach in Asia. And of course, so they go to Asia to preach, and they just felt you can't preach here. So they left. They got to Mysia. That's the next verse. They got to Mysia and assayed to go into. So they said, we'll go and preach in Bithynia. But the Spirit did not allow them. That same inward man. So you can't do this here. So why wouldn't God want them to preach? You're going to see it very shortly. Verse 8. They passing by Mysia came down to Troas. And a vision appeared to Paul. So Paul now had a vision. Go to Macedonia. So God wasn't asking them not to preach in Asia because he had anything against Asia. Just that at the time, he wanted to be at Macedonia. By the time you now get to chapter 19, God had to ask them to go to Asia. And they had a massive ministry in Asia. But it wasn't time. So that tells you, even in your walk with ministry, there is timing for everything. And it's still true that your inward man that you can pick it. I follow what I'm saying now. So I've had many experiences I can share with you about this. How we just sense that something is just off and we'll just start praying. That is the inward voice. Where it's like you're hearing a voice, but you're not hearing it with your physical ear, but you're hearing it in your spirit. That's God also speaks that way. That's your inward man. Philip had an experience in Acts chapter 8. Bible said he had a voice that said to him, that told him to go and join himself to the Ethiopian eunuch. He had the voice. He didn't hear it physically, but he heard it. So yes, God can speak. But it do not land in your physical ear. It will land in your spirit. When you pray, if I let me even give you another simple one. When you pray to a point and you suddenly, you know something. You don't know how you know it, but you just know it. Have you ever had this experience? God is talking to you. You just know we should do this now. I just know we should start building a church now. I just know it. I just know that this should be the theme of this program. I just know that in this forthcoming Start of Fire, I should talk about this. I just know. I follow what I'm saying. I don't know. For instance, okay, let's run this analysis. When I wanted to start talking about how to deal with prophetic words, which of you wanted me to talk about how to hear God properly? Anybody like that? Put your hand up if you're like that. I'm doing this for a reason. Okay, I've seen one or two hands up. I just knew in my spirit that somebody was calling me and saying, you want to leave this matter, but I wish you can just dwell longer on it. And God said to me in my spirit, heed to it. What do I mean by God said to me? Do you think I heard God announce to me, oh yeah, my son. I just knew that somebody wanted me to respond to it. But I just knew too that it gave me a green light in my spirit. Leave that you want to talk about, address this matter. Somebody needs to get an answer. Are you following me this evening? That knowing is strong. I can see you and just know that your name is Cynthia. But I can just see you and know. That's not word of knowledge. I know her name before. I'm just saying. But I can just see you and just know that that's your name. I can just see you. You know, recently, I was talking to my wife. We were just driving one day. I was talking to her about a particular sister in church. I said, something is off about this lady. I said, whenever I see her, I sense this darkness around. And she said, so what do we do? She said, what do we do? Now, with that thing, I was telling her, I didn't hear anything. I didn't hear, my son, look at this daughter. I just knew. Every time I just see her, I just sense that thing. So my wife was like, tell her to come today. I said, no. I want her to talk about it herself. And by the time, you know, she could reach out to me, she was telling me of how she was going through this, how she even contemplated suicide and all of that. God, of course, I've been praying for her since God showed me that. But God did not have to announce it to me. I just knew it. Just looking at her, I just knew it. And many of you have that knowing. Are you what I'm saying? When you just finish praying over a thing, I just feel strange about this. Or you just feel an okay about this matter. Now that's God speaking to you. That's why I tell you, God speaks to all of us. He says, how am I sure that this thing they are saying I should know? How do I differentiate it from my mind? It's a very simple thing. Pray a lot in the spirit. And as you pray a lot in the spirit, respond to that knowing a lot. I told you, how do children get to master their parents' voices? They keep hearing it. You understand? Even as young as my son is now, I can come back and talk. And he will start smiling. Just as young as that. They've mastered it. And it's not because I'm the father. It's because I'm always around and I'm talking. Because if you're a father who is not around, and you stay out for like 2 years and come back, but you don't know your voice, so it will take them time to master it. So as God is speaking, keep yielding. As you keep yielding and keep yielding and keep yielding and keep yielding, it will get to a point you can be so sure and not doubt. I can tell you this is God, and if I tell you, take it to the bank and go and keep it. I'm not bragging. It's where you can also get to. I get what I'm saying. It's where you can also get to. I can just tell you, I feel strange about this whole thing. And it's been like that. Those days in the elders of our ministry, I could literally tell my friends, when people come and join our ministry, I could literally tell them, this one will not stay long. Literally. And I have not, the person has done nothing wrong. I just see it. I just know it. It's a knowing, and you have that knowing. Because there is an inward man. The Bible calls him the hidden man of the heart. He's alive inside of you. So when this is happening, it always reacts to something. And let me say it again. Take that reaction of the Spirit very seriously. You know, you're waiting to hear, thus says the Lord. What I'm talking to you is stronger than Pastor Henry facing you to say, thus says the Lord. It's stronger than it. Because even when Pastor Henry says, thus says the Lord, it is still that your inward man that will tell you, listen to him. Are you following what I'm saying now? It's still that your inward man that will say, yeah, that will okay the things that are coming forth. It's not your inward man. So take it very seriously. That's how God speaks. God has always speaking to you every day. If I tell you how many troubles this thing I'm sharing with you has saved me from, you will be shocked. Like literal trouble. I just pay attention. I just think we should just avoid. Let's not do this. And boom, that'll be it. Thank you, Lord Jesus. So God speaks to us. It's not a big deal. It's not hard. And so people that go to the mountain to spend 13 days to hear from God are actually not in order. Yes. It's a different thing that God has spoken to you about a particular thing. And we're going to get to that today. And you are spending time to pray more to get clarity on that particular subject. There's nothing wrong with that. But if you are going to the mountain just to hear God say anything, I just want God to say anything to me, you're in trouble, though. Are you getting the point? I'm going to tell you, maintain a life of prayer. Maintain a prayer life. In the course of your prayer life, God will get to you. Oh, come on, Acts chapter 13. Certain prophets and teachers, we are praying. Acts 13 verse 1, 2, and 3. They were just praying. And the Lord said, separate unto me, Paul and Barnabas. The purpose of that prayer meeting was not, let us know if God will have us separate Paul and Barnabas. That wasn't the purpose. It was just a regular prayer meeting. And in the course of it, the Lord began to speak to them. If you have a regular prayer time, you can't miss God. Now, they were praying and the Lord spoke. Now, watch what happened. After God now spoke to them about ministry, verse 3, the Bible said they, when they had fasted, they now had to fast and pray specially in accordance with what God has told them. So that fast and prayer was not to be able to hear God. But you know, when God speaks to you, for instance, when God spoke to me about starting this church, I fasted and prayed a lot. I went to mountains, I did a lot and a lot, you know, to get further instructions. Now, listen to this. Why do we hear God when we fast and pray? It's not because when we fast and pray that God will speak more. That's not true. It is because when we fast and pray, we tend to quieten our spirit, distract ourselves from all the noise, that we can be able to hear clearer what he's saying. That's just what it is. Your fasting doesn't make God speak to you. I get to the point. So you can just separate yourself. And then I'm going to say this to you by the Spirit. You know, it's been on my mind for some time to say, thank you, Lord Jesus. If you really want to hear God a lot, practice a lot of meditation. Meditation. That time where you just sit down. Quiet environment. You are just there. And what some people teach as meditation is just sit down doing nothing. I don't encourage that. If you just sit down and leave your mind empty, anything can get into your mind. Sit down calm. Fill your mind with the word of God and just stay calm. I practice a lot. For instance, a meeting is coming up, Saturday is coming up. One of these that people around me will tell you, sometimes at night, everybody can go to bed and I'm just sitting down in the parlor. You come and just find me sitting down in the parlor. For long, my Bible before me, I'll just be sitting down there. Turning scripture over my mind, praying under my breath. You always know what to do. If I let me encourage some of you that are designers, or you code, or you write, you know, you have this mental block. Is there something like that, Abby? Your mind just shut down. Stop that thing you are doing. Stephen's not meditating. Now, when you give that attention, if some unbelievers even tell you that when you shut everything you are doing and you just stay quiet, you begin to get clarity on what to do. Has it ever happened to you? Shut up everything and just stay quiet. Yeah. But I'm telling you a faster thing to do. Shut it down, sit down under your breath, just pray and talk scriptures over your mind. You will definitely get what to do. You might not hear, my son, arise and run. But you will know that you need to arise and run. You will know. Thank you, Lord Jesus. For you are holy, righteous, and worthy. Oh Lord, believe. Lord, have your seat, have your seat. So God will speak to you. The believer, we don't stay in the dark. We don't stay in the dark. We don't stay in the dark. Stop seeing God. And you know, I heard somebody talking. He said, all these prophets always say, God said to me. He said, I'm not serious because no big man talks anyhow. And I told him, I said, you have a point. No big man talks anyhow to the public. But every big man talks anyhow to his children. Every day and every second and every minute. I said, so you are wrong. No big man talks anyhow to the crowd. The president of Nigeria does not talk anyhow to Nigerians. Have you observed? Our president doesn't talk anyhow. He talks only when it is necessary. Democracy Day. 1st of January. Independence Day. Those are days you can hear him say anything. The worst you can hear is you can hear from his what they call those guys, spokesperson. But that's not. Do you think if he wants to talk to his son, Shay, he will say the spokesperson, should cause change. So you will now read, the President of Nigeria has declared. No. It's one phone call. That's how it is with God. Are you following what I'm saying? That's how it is with God. Sometimes when there is violence in a state, and people are expecting that the governor will say something about it, and he's not saying anything about it, he can refuse to talk to all of you. But you know, if his son wants to know what he thinks about that matter, I can enter his room and say, Daddy, what's up now? This one, I'm not talking about this thing that is happening. Yusuf, talk about it now. He will now say, don't mind those people. I don't want to talk about that. I will never talk to them. But look at what I think about the matter. Because he's the son. If you understand father, son, you will not break God by hearing God. God speaks to me every day. And I'm not special. You know what I said? I'm not special. God speaks to me every day. That day you stand before that shop about to pay, and you just feel like, just leave this thing. And sometimes you don't even know what it is. You can't even interpret it. Just go first. I get to the point. Just go. Let me tell you something. Let nobody put you under pressure to do anything you don't want to do. Once your spirit has not okayed it. If your spirit has not okayed it, let everything lose it. It's better you lose it. It's better you lose that property. That's like, if I'm not okay with it in my spirit, no matter what you do, to be very, you can't get me to act. Because God is always speaking to me. So sometimes when I say I need to hear God better, it means if I'm for me to ever tell you, let me go and come back, it means there is something happening in my spirit at the moment. It means I'm not so sure. Sometimes you can get to a place you are so sure. But sometimes you are not so sure. You're not so sure, not because God is confused, but because sometimes the emotions have come in. Maybe you really like that property. And God is doing something else. Maybe you really like it. Maybe it's a good location. Maybe it's a good site. Or maybe it's even a bad site. Just like I told the guys, when Bishop Oyedepo said when they wanted to go and get this particular place they're building now, he said, wait, this particular place where Canaan land is located. He said, when they were driving to the place that day, because they scouted the land and found it and told him, let's go. When they were driving, he was angry. I listened to that clip again. He said he wanted to tell them to turn back immediately. But they were in a convoy. So how will he tell everybody to start turning back? So he felt, well, let's just get there first. He said when he got there, he said he was so sure that's not the place. There was already a struggle in his spirit. Because physically, he didn't like it. He said, we told them, well, let's just pray. So they joined their hands together and said, Father, thank you for bringing us to this place. And his spirit, he just clicked. This is it. Everything in the outside was saying no. And come on, if you know where Canaan land is located, it's not in Lagos. It's about 1 hour away from Lagos. And they had a church in Lagos. So to take your church, to build a church 1 hour away from your previous venue, has to be God talking to you. Are you what I'm talking about? In a village, about 1 hour drive away from previous venue. It has to be God talking to you. But God said that's the place. And now Lagos is moving to Ogun State to go and meet Bishop Oyedepo there. Because when God says a thing, he backs it. Are you following me? Just listen to the okay sign in your spirit. Sometimes you want to get a shop, and you want to get a shop at a certain location. Because, of course, there's nothing wrong with calculating and saying that this is a good spot. But they're showing you another shop elsewhere. And you got there. Naturally, you don't like the place. But something in your spirit just says, well, take it. Just take it. The world will come and meet you there. They will. We are not without help. We are not confused men. The idea of how God speaks and getting God to speak to us should not be complicated at all for the believer. If we do not complicate how our biological parents speak to us, why should we complicate how God speaks to us? How hard could that be? And as I'm saying this, there are some of you that are remembering vivid examples of the day you messed your life up just because you didn't listen to. Sometimes students pay attention to this, so it shows up in exam. As you are reading for your exam, it will show up. I ever had the experience. You just feel like, read this. Sometimes that time you said it will not come out. The reason you are saying it will not come out is because there is a pressing in your spirit to read that thing. That's why I ignore it. Please read it.
Because that you said will not come out is the first question in your exam. I said I should be the first to tell you. It has helped me a lot in my exam too. I get to the point. When I was in first, I can't forget. But doing BCH 102. Is it 102? Yes. And one of those things they taught us are the 20, what do they call it? Amino acids. Did anybody do offer PCH? Uh-huh. 20 amino acids. You like it, Abi? You don't like my course. It's your business. So, biochemistry, 20 amino acids. And you know their structures now. You don't know. So I thought myself, there is no way any sane lecturer will ask you to draw all these structures. So it should be like one or two or three. So I was just moving. That evening as I was reading, I just knew in my heart that I was about to fail. It came to me like revelation. Because I felt like, hey, it's two or three. How can you tell us there? And the 20 of them, it's not like when you draw one, the structure of the first one will lead to the second one. There are 20 different structures. Now, if you want to study biochemistry, you are blessed. It's a good course. So let me not discourage you. We like it, right? Why do medical students find biochemistry very disturbing? Medical, nursing, med rehab. What's your problem with it? I read a book where a pastor who was a medical doctor was encouraging people not to study biochemistry. He's a doctor. He said he doesn't understand the course. How that there's a lot of cramming. You have to cram everything. So it was really very funny to me. Because I was a student of biochemistry at the time. And I kept saying, you can't say that again. But listen, friends. There's nothing wrong with the course. So for that day, 20. I said, you know, I thought about it. How can you just want to draw 20 minor seats? Are you crazy? One or two. Question number one in the hall. Because that night, Lord said to me, read this thing. So I didn't have the textbook. I went, collected text from someone and learned 20 of them. I don't know if I learned them, but it was just in my head. You know what I'm talking about? Where you just take, I took you to the hall. You don't greet many people as you're going before it runs away. So I just entered that hall. Guess what? Question number one. Not what? 20. Draw the 20. I said, are people crazy? But I tell you, it was God that came through for me. Because as far as I was concerned, I don't think any sane human being should have told us to draw. I thought they would have told us to draw 5 or at least 10. About 20. So I said, everyone shouted, hey, in the hall. I just smiled. But he reached the shout. And you think that's all the question? That's just number one. Think about that. But I'm just saying, I would have so failed, and it was compulsory. Because the guy knows what he did. God will come true. But I'm telling you, I've seen this thing happen many times. I didn't hear God say to me, read this, but I knew that God was talking to me. I knew he was lighting up that thing in my spirit. You are going to fail if you don't read this thing. Well, by Sunday, maybe I'll go to what I want to talk about today. Because I didn't even enter it at all. We're just laying foundation. But why are you blessed today? Yeah. Glory to God. But I'll just lay solid foundation. But I think we are good to go. It will help in many ways. You want to get married? You want to relocate? Others are saying you want to go to Canada, want to go to UK, and all of that. And then every time they think about the jackpot thing, you try to even get interested, but it doesn't, you know, just gel. Leave it. And some other times you're not even interested. You're not interested in it, but it keeps lighting up your spirit. Pay attention to it. You need to realize God doesn't always speak through complicated means. And let me even tell you, the day you finally hear the voice of God, let me announce to you, the day you hear that in word voice, because that's another way God speaks through the word voice every day too. You will not hear it in King James English. You will not hear thou shall go and thou shall conquer thy world. You won't hear that. You might hear it in Igbo language.
You could hear like that. You can hear it very clearly like that. And when he speaks that, we will not forget it. Kamalandorada. Pay attention. You hear things by the Spirit. You can just find a particular phrase ringing in your heart. A particular thing. Don't think God doesn't speak to me. God actually speaks to you. Let me ask, is there anybody here that has ever experienced anything I'm saying? You do. So many people hear God and they're in the mountains waiting to hear God. It's actually what God said to them that took them to the mountain. They hear God a lot. So you see why we're looking at the God Uncensored series. People have so complicated God and made him so unreachable. Now let me say this, and this is not an attack on anybody, but I'm against teachings like you want to assess this realm of whatever 14 hours prayer, 18 hours. I don't agree with that. There is nothing that implies that in this Bible. Nothing. Nothing looks like it. So you want to begin to hear from the immortals. And you've not gone for 18 hours. I'm just playing. You know the thing, when I hear those things, I once spoke like that. I told you guys, Abby, I once spoke like that. But you know, it's always good for you to be sincere with yourself. I finished preaching in a school many years ago, a couple of years back, many, many years ago now. I've stayed for some time in this church thing. Right? This was 2009 or 10. Okay, so I finished preaching about 15 years ago now. Finished preaching, and I was living, and the power of God, when you see me preaching secondary schools, there is always an eruption. That's why I started ministry. If I come to your school will erupt too. If your principal will run out, I'm very serious. God blessed us with that. It was free. That's what I'm trying to say. Some of these things that we do for God are freely given. I don't even know what I did to be able to do those things I'm doing then. I mean, I could come to a whole school. Some of you have tested. I can come to your school and start preaching. Your principal, your staff, we run from their staff room to where I'm preaching. And the fire will burn everywhere. So I had those experiences. So I was preaching in one of those schools. So much fire. And as I was walking out of the hall, out of the place, I was just walking. You know, did no man of God walk? After you've done it all, you're just walking. And then this young lady ran to me and held my hand. Small girl, just one girl. I said, sir, I want to be like you. I want to be like you. I want to be like you. And I turned. I looked at her. I said, can you fast? Can you pay the price? She said, yes. I said, can you fast? I said, I can fast. I said, can you fast for 7 days? I said, I've not done it before. I said, I'm not serious. You know, when I left that place, every believer should have a personal prayer time. Personal time. Not where you're praying. Where you're just praying for yourself and thinking about your life. Every minute I should have. So when I want to think about my life, I've never fasted for 7 days. Even that time. Even now. I've never fasted for 7 days. Don't think I've finally done it. Even that time, even now, I've not fasted for 7 days. And I'm not sure I'm going to fast. Like 7 days, like dry fasting. No. I've never done it. And the highest I've done is 4. So I'm not against fast. I've gone for 4 straight. But when I let the Lord say, but you know you too, self. Not for 7 days. It's good we tell ourselves the truth. Some of the experiences we have are just things connected to our calling. Sometimes it's not because we are better than anybody. I'm telling you the truth too. I'm telling you the truth. Not because I'm better than anybody. Glory to God. I was just a young guy. Sometimes I don't even prepare those things as I come to preach in your school. I just come and take the mic and start saying things. Ever seen me in your school? Let me see. You ever preached in your school in my secondary school? You know now. If I come to everywhere we erupt. I'm bragging with you too. If I come everywhere we erupt, as in people will be like, who is this guy? And I was very small then. And I don't even know what I would say to you. Everyone will be shaking. Sometimes they could say you cannot preach. And I asked them, just give me 10 minutes. 10 minutes is enough to erupt the whole school. But you know what?
It wasn't by works. I'm not talking that one prayer and fasting. Do you get what I'm talking about? I fast. I thought I fasted for 4 days. Not once, not twice. I fasted for 3 days, 2 days. I still do till now. I fast for 2-3 days dry. I still do, but I've not done 7 days. I'm just saying. But it was God. I don't even know what led me to this talk. Let's not make it look like it's impossible. So because God is to speak to you, you think, you've not done for it, pray for 18 hours. You don't want to cross into the realm of the cosmos and the realm of the immortal and the realm of what are all those things? Let me teach you how to interact with God. When God will speak to you, He will use Bible terms to talk to you. When you want to talk, use Bible terms. What are all those things you are forging? What are all those things? What do you think you are? God speaks very simply. Very simply. Very simple instructions. So you think people in the Bible are hearing God through King James English? No. Go join thyself to that tyrant. And that's why whenever we call you to come and give a prophetic word, start the fire is coming now. I'll say, come and give a prophetic word. You carry the mic. Thus says the Lord, my people. Thou shalt arise, and I shall raise thee over the earth. Who is thee? Who exactly is thee? God speaks very simply. Very simply. How old was Samuel when God spoke to him? Young, yet he could understand what God said and communicated to Eli as a small boy. You think God used King James English to talk to Samuel as a small boy? He will come to you very simply. He will come to you in very simple ways. As you are washing your clothes, you just finished praying. As you are washing your clothes, it just dawned on you as you are washing that you should not invest in that deal. If nobody spoke, but you just know, leave that matter. Leave that matter. Leave that guy alone. Sometimes you just finish praying. You're just walking along the road. You're not even thinking about it. Boom, it just comes up. You just know that. Leave that guy. Leave this matter. It's a knowing. And we are blessed with it. He said, your ear shall hear a word behind you saying, this is the way. Walk in it. We always enjoy that. Always enjoy that. As you're employing staff in your office, when you are done with the interview, pray. Listen to your spirit, man. Sometimes I just done with the interview. And God is saying, you just sense in my spirit, leave that one alone. Just respond to it. You don't know why. Respond to it. Respond to it. Don't employ someone that will run your business down. Sometimes it's not about running business down. Sometimes it's because God wants you to employ that person because He has other things He wants you to even do for that person beyond being an employer. Maybe He wants you to get that person saved. Maybe He wants you to mentor that person. That's why He's saying employ this one and not that one. He has His plans. Are you following what I'm saying? Just respond to it. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Has God answered your questions today? Stand to your feet. Let's just thank Him. Let's just thank Him. When I told you somewhere along the line, I'm going to say something to somebody that was thinking about something. Glory to God. Lift your hands. Be lifted high. I just said that song in my spirit. Be lifted. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Oh, yes. how God will reach you over many things. I'm just thinking of many things. Over many things. In fact, over everything he wants to tell you. How do I, everything you see me do, how do I come about them? This is it. How do I come about, oh, name your child this or name your child that? That is it. You know, there were names I used to say when I have a child, I would name my child this, I would name my child that. None of them. It's fine. Because when the child is coming, I just start praying. You just know that this is it. There are some people that have been opportunity to name their kids. I say that they give this child a name. I don't need to look at the child's face and say, he looks, I love his, her smile. Her name shall be called Smile. No. Your spirit man will bear witness to something. Sometimes it's at that moment that he will bring to memory something that you heard some time ago, and it will click. Let me tell you, if you train yourself in what I'm saying, it's not just what you feel, you will know things. Do you know? I've never said this openly. Okay, I think I have one day. Our babies, I'm talking about babies now. Our baby's name, I don't speak Yoruba. I got the name in Yoruba. God spoke to me, gave me a name in Yoruba, gave me the meaning of the name. Yes. So I told my wife, I wrote it for her. I said, this, look at the name that the Lord gave me. And he said, this is what it means. We now began to search the meaning of that word. I don't speak Yoruba. I can tell you, other kids that are coming, I have all their names. All of them were delivered in the Yoruba language to me. With the meaning. God will say, this is it. And I didn't hear a voice saying, my son. No. He just came. This is it. This is the meaning. Now, if I just heard that name, you would have said, oh, well, maybe you heard somebody call the name. But for God to give me the name and give me the meaning, you will know I'm not forging it. I get what I'm saying? Yeah. So you can train yourself to the point where you get those things like that. God can speak to you in French. Yes. And it's not by some esoteric means. It's that same in word, man. Are you going to say that same in word, man? That same in word, man. Start yielding to it. It's even better that you're trying to yield to it and you missed it and you're not trying at all. Start yielding to it. Pay attention to it. Sometimes things are just so bad and you just sense in your heart, just talk to this guy about it. So this one happened to you. And so you now talk to the person about it. And that person is the answer to everything you've been looking for. Thank you, Lord Jesus. I'm never without help. I'm never confused. I'm never out of options. I always know what to do. I always know the step to take. Because God is my Father. He always speaks to me. He will show me the path that I must walk. He will. He will. Pray the Holy Ghost for like 3 minutes all about this place. Shema la gadaraba sombra de leanda kush. Oh, pray the Holy Ghost. Pray the Holy Ghost. Oh, yes. Shega la garaba la baraga dega 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 brega dele brega dia. Prebelege rege vere pede goma shana malandias. That's how we stay out of trouble. Thank you, Holy Ghost. You know, one of the things that will happen to you is as you are interacting as a Christian, pay attention to the things you know in your spirit and respond to them. Let me ask this question. How many of you have ever had a conversation with someone, real life conversation with someone, and you came to church after that, and I addressed that exact conversation? Let me see how it ever happened to you. Now, how do I get to that? It's the same thing that I know. Now, sometimes, at first when I start addressing it, I may not even know that I'm talking about you or about someone. When you are talking with someone, you are preaching to someone. I'm teaching something in evangelism. And a thought begins just to come up. Follow it. You are not a confused person. When it started happening to me, I just feel like, am I really mad? How can I be preaching about something? And suddenly I just start talking about something else. I'm a very organized preacher. If you see my notes is very organized. This is the most organized you've ever seen in your life.
I have some headings. But sometimes I just start talking, and suddenly, by that spirit, I just find myself I'm veering offward. Are you what I'm talking about? Pay attention to that. It's when you are done, you will know what you've done. You just feel you're a mother, you're a father. You just feel you should call your son and address this thing. Sometimes there is nothing related to that. Sometimes nothing is happening now. Sometimes it will happen in the future. Are you what I'm talking about? Pay attention. Believe what you know. Trust what you know. That's what I heard from the Lord. Trust what you know. You may not be able to explain how you know it, but you know it. Trust it. The days of confusion are over. As you begin to practice these things, the more it will get easier. Thank you, Lord Jesus. I was telling someone yesterday in the office that every year I do a series on how to recognize divine leader. I was still doing that this year. I didn't even know God was going to lead me to that today already. But please pay attention to these things. As it come up in your spirit, you will not be confused. That's why I've literally been delivered from danger or from robbery attacks just by following in word witness. Has it ever happened to you? Literally. Where it just says, don't follow that path, follow this other path. I get the point. But you just feel that discomfort in your spirit that I just feel I'm doing something wrong. And on the outside, nothing is wrong, but you just feel it. Respond to it. You are not being stupid. You are not being mad. I get the point. It will all come together later. Now, let me clarify this because God just put it in my heart. I am not against you taking initiatives. I just said that in the Holy Ghost. I'm not against you taking initiatives. So that somebody can say, I will not go and look for a job until I hear from the Lord, my son, look at the job I want you to go and find. No. God is not against you taking initiatives. Just that as you are taking the initiatives, be checking with him. I get the point. So, I want to travel abroad. It's a good initiative. Now, if you make up your mind to do that, and there is no contrary leading, go ahead with it. Are you what I'm talking about? So that you don't say, why have you not engaged this? I'm just waiting upon the Lord. Mm-mm. There's nothing wrong with taking initiatives. I'm going to apply here, apply here, apply here. But if I now try to apply this other place, and so God says, don't do it, I will now leave it. Are you what I'm saying? And somebody needs to hear what I just said now. So take divine initiatives. Take the initiatives. Do you understand the point? Do it. I'm going to take that step. Do this, do this. If there is no... Notice what was happening in the book of Acts chapter 16 verse 6. The Bible said they wanted to go to Asia. God did not say they wanted to. And if they didn't have any different leading, they would have gone to Asia. I get the point. But God said no. Then in verse 7, Bible said, after they were come to Misha, they are saved. Give me another translation, like NLT. He said, they headed not, but they decided to go there. They didn't hear from God, but they wanted to do it. I get what I'm saying. So I'm not saying God wants us to be programmed robots. So we just sit down and he say, move, oh, move. Eat before you eat. Laugh before you laugh. Should you eat every day? Eat morning, afternoon, night. But if you not bring food to eat, and the leading says, leave that food and pray, respond to it. And it doesn't mean you have to wait upon the Lord to hear whether should I eat. So if you want to dress up and they say, Father, which clothes should I wear? Lead me. You will come late. You will go to church late. But can you pick up a certain clothes to wear? The Holy Ghost says, don't wear it for today. Yes. I have stories around that. And sometimes he knows why. He knows why in many ways. Oh. Sometimes there is somebody who wants you to minister to. Or sometimes it's not even ministry. Sometimes he has seen as a woman that your period is coming today. But that day did not give you a sign. I get it, but the Holy Ghost is just... Am I talking off point? It's not off point, too. Maybe he has known. And you bring that clothes, say, my daughter. You just feel strange about wearing it. I say, I've ironed it, but I just feel I shouldn't wear it. It's not by the end of the day, you say, thank God I didn't wear that clothes. God was actually leading you. You know, he's always interested in every detail. In every detail. If the pimple on your face is interested, I can tell you. So, initiatives are good. Then coming to the borders of Misha, they headed not. But again, God just didn't allow them. So, God stopped them. So, it didn't mean they were not taking. So, when God said they shouldn't preach in Asia, they didn't say, well, I just crossed my legs, say the next thing he says. No. Take divine initiatives. But even in an attempt to do that, God says, well, leave it. I get the point. 2 years ago, we wanted to start building, start looking for a land to buy. And I already announced it here. It was an initiative. But then in praying and interacting with my spiritual father, he said, it's not time for that. I said, okay, fine. And I left it. That's the thing about it. I'm always ready to revert. I left it. And then after some time, I didn't even start asking God, is it now time? Because when he tells me to leave it like that, I know he will tell me when it's time again. So when it was time again, he said, okay, wow, it's time. Praise God. And then I checked with my pastor who said he didn't think it was time before. He said, I know it's this time. And here we are. And I tell you, I'm making major progress. Amen. I'm making major progress with supernatural help. Major, major progress. You better believe it. Because it's the zeal of the Lord that is performing it. But it's all by divine leading. So how do you pastor? By the inward witness. How do you do ministry? By the inward witness. How do you do your life? By this divinely. That's how we do life. So people that have mystified hearing from God, I want to deliver you from that. I believe I've been able to do that. But if you still need some other deliverance, get my book outside to complete the deliverance. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Just thank him. Just give him praise.
Oh, El Shaddai, El Shaddai, Elohim and Adonai, age to age you are still the same, by the power of your name.
With what I'm teaching now, but let's leave it next time. Amen. Many questions. Even every time I'm on stage, I try to just walk by the word witness. Why do you preach sometimes and then you stop and start singing a particular song? It's the same thing. And I can tell you, for every song I raise on this stage, something adjusts in somebody's life. That's why we have come to church and then you are feeling somehow. And I just sang one song, and so has it ever happened to you? And it's like everything is adjusted. It's not like God says to me, oh yeah, oh yeah, oh yeah, sing, sing. No, I just know. Sometimes as I'm preaching, that song begins to ring in my heart. And sometimes I used to feel like I'm mad until God taught me. Because sometimes the song that is putting in my heart has nothing to do with what I'm preaching on. And I say, God, what are we doing here this evening? He was like, just sing it. And sometimes as I'm trying to fight, it just comes out. Thank you, Lord Jesus. And some of you, when after those songs in church, you find out that 3 weeks after service, that song is still your song. And sometimes it helps you go through a major storm in your life. And that's why ministry is by the inward witness. I'm trying to show you that I trust it with all my heart. You trust your own too. Next time it comes, act on it. You are not confused. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Are you blessed today? Was this your service? Glory to God. Have your seat. Let's close.
For more information, inquiry, or prayer request, please visit our website at www.henryonyedikachi.com.